Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's the Westmoreland Business Journal here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net.
Good morning and welcome to the Westmoreland Business Journal on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold and 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net, presented by the Westmoreland County Chamber of Commerce, County Industrial Development Corporation, the Economic Growth Connection. I'm your host, Jason Rigoni, Executive Director of the Westmoreland County IDC. My co-host this morning is my good friend and colleague, Courtney Guerreri, with the Westmoreland Chamber.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm very well.
Good.
How's things at the Chamber?
Getting busy.
Really?
Yeah. We're starting to pick back up as far as events go.
Okay.
Since things are opening. So we're very excited about that. We're still looking for chamber members. So anyone who's interested in learning a little bit more about the chamber and what we can offer them and their business, please feel free to give me a call or an email. The phone number is 724-834-2900. Or shoot me an email, courtney@westmorelandchamber.com.
For those of you who do not know Courtney, I certainly advocate to reach out to her. The Chamber is a great organization, can certainly help connect with other businesses across the county. So please don't hesitate to reach out to Courtney. Again, it may be the best decision from a business perspective that you've ever made. So there's certainly a lot going on. It's so wonderful seeing things starting to open up across the country, obviously across the county.
Yes.
Pandemic has really been a challenge this past 18 months or so at this point. Maybe not 18 months, but it feels like 18 months or 18 years for that matter.
I feel like everyone's been hibernating for 18 months, and now we're all waking up, and this is it. Let's go.
I think people are going to be out of control beating that. Not only is it opening up, but it's also summertime.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the nice thing.
It is.
We have a great show today.
We do.
We have two guests. We usually only have one. Today, we have been blessed to have two. We have Janet Thomas as well as Londi Dandar, both from the Westmoreland County Department of Planning and Community Development. And for the audience, I just want to let you know that both of these individuals work with me or are my colleagues. As we've mentioned before, I'm the director of the Industrial Development Corporation. I'm also the director of County Planning and Community Development. We think that today's show is certainly something very significant across the county for the quality of life of individuals. So maybe I'll ask first, Londi, tell us a little bit about what you're doing, how you came to the county, and the program that you're going to be managing.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. My name is Londi Dandar. I'm the intake clerk and interviewer for the Westmoreland County's Lead Hazard Control and Healthy Homes Program. It is a new program that's here in Westmoreland County. And I've been here since March. My background is in education. My certifications in teaching are early childhood, elementary, and special education K-12.
So you have some experience with children.
I do, particularly more so with children who have disabilities, developmental, cognitive impairments, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And Janet Thomas. Janet, you've been working with our department for some time now. Maybe just give a little bit of background on who you are and what you've been doing the last so many years.
My name is Janet Thomas, and I am the Deputy Director for Community Development Department, Planning and Community Development Department. And I've came to Westmoreland County 4 years ago. Prior to that, I had worked for the city of Sharon for over 20 years. I was the executive director for community development there, and we ran a housing rehabilitation program, and I thought that it was always important to bring that into Westmoreland County, an aspect of that program, which we had joined partnerships with Lawrence County when I was in the city through their lead hazard control grant, and that's why we decided to apply for a grant through the Housing and Urban Development Department for a lead hazard control grant, and that's we received the funding from HUD.
How long were you the director in Sharon?
I worked my way up. I was the executive director probably there for 4 years. I was the deputy director before that.
It's the nice thing about bringing new people in, whether they're young or experienced, they bring new ideas and maybe some thoughts that we as a community or an organization certainly haven't taken advantage of in the past. So certainly we welcome you both, not only to the organization. Janet, you've been around for a while. Londi, you're relatively new. But we also welcome you to the show today. So what are we talking about here today?
Yeah, I was shocked with this topic because, you don't think about it. I mean,
for sure.
You know, homes, you don't think about, you know, the new paint, the things. I mean, that's what comes to my mind when we talk about lead. So what's going on? What's the program? How did it come about?
Well, basically, as Janet had mentioned, that they felt it was important because 84% of our homes here in Westmoreland County were built before 1978. Why is that important? Because the older the home, the more likely there's lead-based paint in the home or other hazards. The program is for rental and privately owned properties. And that also will be county. This is a program that reaches the whole entire Westmoreland County, but we will have certain focus areas that have a high socioeconomic and environmental risk factors because many of these homes were left uncared for and need in help in order for them to have a safe living environment. So that's why it was important. And I think the one thing that I was kind of really shocked with is that lead poisoning can be mimicked. Like a lot of other illnesses, sometimes the symptoms that are, you know, brought about by lead poisoning are being overlooked because they mimic like fatigue, tiredness, muscle aches, pains, headaches, all of those things. Even behavioral disorders or cognitive impairments, things that are children, learning disabilities, all of those things, their lead could be the reason behind it. So that's basically why we felt it was important, and we sought after funding to help eradicate or remediate this.
It's interesting, and Courtney and I, obviously, I know more about this program, obviously it comes out of our office, but I think that mm-hmm. the realization associated with saying that 84% of our homes were built before 1978, and certainly Westmoreland County has been around for a long time, you know, I think that if you visualize a lot of the coal patch towns that we have,
right.
They're scattered throughout the county, all those communities were built in the turn of the century. When I say turn of the century, from the, you know, from 1800 to 1900. So it's something that we certainly have an older housing stock, and there's certainly challenges associated with that.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that number, 84%. And I'm sitting here as you're talking about this thinking, oh my gosh, my house was built. I live in an older house. Do I need, I didn't even think about lead poisoning. I mean, I've painted numerous times, probably painted over old lead paint. I mean, should I be concerned? Or should my daughter be concerned? What do we do?
That's a great question. So I think one of the places to start would probably be a blood test. I mean, a simple blood test can determine elevated blood lead levels in children and adults. So also... at that point, if you find that there's, you know, elevated lead levels, then the next would be where's the source? You know, if your children and your family spending the majority of the time at home, obviously the first place you would look at the home, you'd have a risk assessor come out, do an inspection, do a risk assessment to see if there's lead in the home. If so, where it's located.
And I think over the last 18 months, as we talked about before, 15 months because of COVID, everybody was at home. So,
sure.
You know, you were trapped inside your home for the most part. So, and again, if there was, if there was an extended period of time, this past pandemic certainly created such an environment where you would have been in that environment for long periods of time.
Absolutely.
So, Courtney, this grant is based on pre-1978 housing. So anything prior to pre-1978 basically had lead-based paint. In the home, you know, in the paint where they had done any kind of renovations. So when you're looking at a home pre-1978, you can be looking for chipping, chalking, peeling paint, whether it be on the porch, inside the home, you know, when there are windows, when in the humidity and the summertime, people open and shut their windows.
Sure.
And it creates a lead dust that you can't even see. which becomes airborne, and it becomes on the floor in your food. You know, your children under six, that's why this grant is based on for children under six because their bodies are developing.
Right.
Know, their nervous system and everything. And kids, when they're playing on the floor, where do their mouths go? You know, where
everywhere.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
The
right?
toys. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're,
you
know, they're touching things.
Right.
They're putting it in their mouth. That's,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's very dangerous for children, and that's why it's we are looking for families, you know, or child caregivers. Grandparents are raising children anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's all income-based, you know, income eligibility.
Okay.
So let's go back to talking about the grant, right? So we didn't have this grant in the past, but through a proactive approach, applied for it. How much did we receive, and how much of it can be utilized on a per, you know, house type level?
Okay. First of all, we did mention that the grant is through the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Office of Lead Hazard Control and Healthy Homes. Westmoreland County was awarded $3.4 million.
Does every county get funding?
It's a competitive grant.
Okay. So you have to apply for it. It's not like some other program where everybody gets some. You have to take the proactive approach and apply for it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got $3.4 million.
And it's for a period of 3.5 years.
Okay.
The goal of the count, Westmoreland County, is to address 142 units and possibly eight of those units, 80 of those for other health-related hazards. And we'll talk a little about that in a few minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so, how do you apply just yet, but so the units, you said it gets spent over a three and a half year period. So there's a time limit in order to expend these funds.
There is. And I recommend anyone throughout this, you know, that's listening, anyone who's interested to apply as early as possible, because it is a grant. And we do have a waiting list, so if you want, the earlier you apply, the more likely it would be that you could receive services.
Do you have to own your own home in order to apply?
No, it's for privately owned properties or rental units. So if you, I don't want to jump ahead, but if someone is renting a property, their landlord would have to fill out a portion of the application as well and sign off on it.
Okay. So going back to just lead poisoning, as we were talking before, so we were mentioning about its impacted children. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the things you had mentioned, fatigue and some of the other symptoms that mimics, but with children, what's the impact? Why is it so troublesome for children?
That's a great question, Jason. The reason is because children are at a very, under 6 years old, they're developing at a very fast pace and rate. They actually will absorb lead more so than an adult, okay? And it will also impact their lives more so. Lead can affect their central nervous system, which includes the brain, so their, you know, the cognitive impairment, behavioral disorders, whatnot. It can damage the vital organs of the body, okay? It also has, there's a lot of different, I do want to focus too and let you know that the level that they have as far as 5 micrograms per deciliter, that is that if a child's blood lead level is at that, that's when it's starting to, you're required to have further monitoring and testing. Okay. But there is really no safe lead level for children because children are so small and different children are, you know, we're all different people. Even a low amount of lead could cause a child to really have adverse reactions and effects for the rest of their life. So, it could affect your kidneys, renal failure. It can cause a coma. And if it's left untreated, it could even cause death.
Certainly, those are very significant. Is there an element associated with impacting the ability? You had talked about cognitive. So do children who have been, I'll say, absorbed lead, have higher lead poisoning or lead levels in their blood, do they usually show lower scoring scores in terms of their academic performance?
Yes, their IQ overall can be lowered The brain, it just basically their ability to learn and absorb information at a normal pace could be severely impacted. So it is definitely, and I know children with ADHD can cause all kinds of behavioral problems. Me as a special education teacher, we had a lot of children that had attention deficit, ADHD, and I wondered, if these children were tested for lead, if it was something in their home that was causing this.
So I'm learning so much here today. Like, it's kind of blowing my mind. But is lead poisoning, especially in these older homes, is it preventable, or is there a way that you can't get it? Like, I mean, I'm sure no one's out there feeding their kid paint chips from their old window seals, but, you're saying that it comes as dust particles and things like that. So how can we prevent it?
It's 100% preventable. You have to maintain the home, especially like in older structures, especially around the windows when you're open and closing, constantly dusting and mopping where your children has access, their bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, wherever your children are in accessible areas, you got to maintain your home. And if you see the chipping, peeling, chalking paint, then it needs to be addressed. Especially outside on the porch, because a lot of porches has peeling paint. You got to address those issues, because your kid, if it's pre-1978 housing, there's basically probably lead-based paint in that home. And even in the soil surrounding the home, because if the house was painted and your child's outside playing, and when it rains or whatever, that deterioration goes into that soil, and that kid is playing on that ground. The best bet with this program, if you come into the program and you're an eligible family, we have a risk assessor come out and do a total full inspection on your unit to see where the lead hazards are within the home.
So how do you know if you, as a family living in a home or whatever, how do you know what requirements you need to be part of this program and to apply and everything?
Courtney, the requirements for the program, basically the home has to be built or the property has to be built before 1978, as we mentioned. The annual income must fall at or below the maximum income guidelines according to the household size. And I don't want to scare people away with that. I'm just going to give you a couple examples so you have an idea. So if you have a family of three, you can make up to $61,100. Okay, if you have a family of we'll say five, you can make up to $73,300. So the maximum income guidelines are very reasonable. I mean, the ceiling's pretty high.
Okay.
You would also have to have a child, of course, under the age of 6 years old, living in the home. And if they're not living and they can't, in the home, say they have a grandparent and say they're helping to care for the child in their home, their grandchild, and they're under six, and they're spending at least 6 hours a week in their home on a regular basis, for example, 60 hours per year. The grandparent, if the home's built before 1978 and the grandparents meet the income guidelines, they could qualify as well.
Okay.
So it could go to caregivers, grandparents, babysitters, someone who has a child under 6 years who significantly spends a lot of time in that home.
Okay.
And the last one, too, is all property taxes and homeowners insurance or renter's insurance must be current on the property as well.
You're listening to the Westmoreland Business Journal on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold and 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net. I'm your host, Jason Rigoni. My co-host today, Courtney Guerrieri. We have two special guests with us today, Londi Dandar and as well as Jana Thomas, both from the Westmoreland County Department of Planning and Community Development. We're talking about lead paint, lead hazard control in homes and how to mitigate it and what funding the county has. So kind of getting back to that income level. So the one question I have, can you use it in commercial structure, say a childcare facility? Can it be used for that, or is this only in residential settings?
This is only in residential settings.
Okay.
Privately owned properties, either rented or owned.
How about if a mother is pregnant?
That's a great question. Along with a child under the 6 years, pregnant women are at most risk, to be honest with you, because the developing fetus can be impacted more so than a child that's already born. So that's, pregnant woman would definitely fall. She's living in within a home and is built prior to 1978 and the income guidelines are met, she would definitely qualify, or the household would.
That's interesting that they have, it doesn't seem like the requirements are too tedious, but it's just a matter of letting people in the county know that we have this program and that it's accessible to them just by completing an application. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And all they have to do to complete an application is actually they can go to the Westmoreland County website. If they go to the search box and type in lead or lead hazards, anything affiliated to that, any keyword, it will take them to the area where they can do a brief application. It's not, and then it will be followed up with a lead safe staff who contact them for an interview and provide supporting documentations to go further. But the application is not lengthy at all, and it's pretty straightforward.
We have some time left here today, but I wanted to kind of understand better. So someone feels comfortable in terms of the actual process. We talked about how to apply, but maybe kind of step us through applying for the funding, the risks assessment takes place all the way through until the home is actually addressed and the family is moving back in. So maybe kind of just step us through that and explain how that works.
Okay, first of all, like Lindy was saying, she said you can go to the website and get the application. It's a printable application right now. Eventually, it will be online. You'd be able to submit it through online, but right now, you could print it out, fill it out, print it out, and send it to us or bring it into the office. Lindy has applications in the office. You could call her up, make an appointment. She would be more than happy to schedule one and have you come in, and she will assist you in filling out the application. So once she gets all the income qualifications, like income verification for to get the household income eligibility, now it's for everyone in the whole household we would need the income for, and then she would get the information on the house, on the child. We would definitely need a birth certificate showing the child is under 6 years old in that property. Once all the income verification is documented and verified, it goes on to the next step. It would go to the housing specialist. The housing specialist would contact a risk assessor inspector to come out and do an inspection, a full inspection and assessment on that property. He would come in and he would probably spend a good 3 hours there. He would have to be there doing so many samples per room in that house. And then once he has completed his inspection on inside and out exterior, he would prepare an inspection report. Once that inspection report comes into our housing specialist, he would do bid specifications from what his recommendations are, the risk assessor's recommendations. Either the risk assessor is going to come back, he's going to be testing windows, baseboards, walls, everything that he sees, that any kind of issues with the walls, whether it's chipping, chalking, peeling paint, holes in the walls.
Sand. You kind of have that going, you know, that you keep that chipping, chalking. You say that pretty quickly and pretty
does,
well.
She, yeah, it's like she's knows good at that. Yeah. Say that 3 times fast, Jason.
Yeah. So, yeah, used to saying that. But, yeah, it could be intact walls. He would explain everything that would need to be done in that home. So the housing specialist would do a bid specification. That bid specification would go out to certified lead abatement workers. These are the only workers that can do this kind of work with this lead hazard control program. You have to be certified. So once all the work is completed and done, then a clearance test by the inspector would come. He would do a clearance test and make sure that it's okay for the family to come back in, because they would have to be relocated. And once that clearance is done, then the family can be relocated back into the home.
So, Janet, let me just interrupt you real quickly. You said someone would come in and do all of the work. So it's not a good idea for me to go home now today after this conversation and scrape my window seals where I see chipping paint or my outside porch, right? I should
no, probably because you have to know the proper lead safe work practices. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do it safe, you're going to have dust, lead hazard, paint dust, airborne, mm-hmm. and that child could be poisoned, even okay. worse than what, you know, even if that he was, if he was
yeah.
before.
Now, this grant, it takes care of all the costs, or does a resident, an applicant, an eligible applicant have to put, they have to pay for any of this work?
Well, right now we have so much set aside per unit.
Which is how much?
Right now it's $12,000 per unit,
okay.
but it could go up to $25,000. Now, we would request that from HUD, and they would say it would be based on what kind of work is done in that home. And then if they allowed us to go above a certain amount, then that's what we would do.
Okay. I just want to add, too, that if you probably caught that the family would need to be relocated. I don't want anyone to panic with that. We recommend that you can stay with a family or a friend or what have you. That would be great. But if you cannot, the program will help accommodate you. They'll basically make arrangements for your family to stay at a hotel, and everything will be covered by the program.
Courtney actually volunteered. She has a big house. People can live in her house while
they've
moved
out. Oh, yeah,
sure.
Come on down. We could have a big party. It would be great. And we could check my house for peeling paint and window frames. So, yeah, perfect.
We have about 2 minutes left. So you had mentioned the Healthy Homes portion of the program. Can you just kind of give us about a minute on that?
Yes, I always think of the Healthy Homes as the co-pilot because it is the Lead Hazard Control and Healthy Homes program. So if once the risk assessor goes in, he finds a lead hazard and there's definitely lead present, he's actually going to do an assessment of the whole entire home. So if he finds other hazards, like for example, like maybe possibly radon, mold, mildew, whatnot, those hazards could be addressed through the Healthy Homes portion. So they're kind of like separate funding, but they're together. So it is a great program to really make your home safe for your family.
And so we talked about income qualifications. Say someone doesn't qualify, but Courtney's like anybody. What are some things they can do themselves? Is it something they could do themselves, or would you be recommending to hire a professional to come in and do the testing and make sure that it's done properly?
You can go on the EPA website, and there are proper procedures in order. If you're going to do it yourself, certain things yourself, there are things that can show you how to do lead safe work, you know, and be smart on how to reduce the hazards within your home.
So I'm assuming you two are excited to get this program started?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do want to stress that the one thing about hiring a professional, they know how to handle lead. And the cleaning is so important. I cannot stress that enough. If you do the work and you don't handle it properly or you don't clean up afterwards, you could end up with a bigger mess than what you started with.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Courtney, thank you
for
co-hosting and carrying the conversation on my behalf today. Londi, Janet, thank you so much for joining us. You have just listened to Westmoreland Business Journal on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold and 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.